Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. An older gentleman went in to see the doctor complaining of not feeling well, and the doctor ran some tests and came in with kind of a long face. Doctor said, I'm sorry, but it looks like you might need a heart transplant. And the patient all of a sudden smiled and started celebrating. The doctor had never seen this before in all of his years of being a doctor and said, I don't think you heard me. You need a new heart, just to be clear. Why are you so happy? And he said, I'm so happy because my wife for years has been telling me I don't have one. And I have proof that she has been wrong this whole time. So I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but each one of us here today needs a heart transplant, ASAP. Maybe this morning we don't think we need a new heart. I bet we woke up this morning and we're feeling fine. We probably woke up and ran 50 miles before watching the service, just get the juices flowing. I bet even our doctors gave us a clean bill of health the last time that they saw us. But they're wrong too. And sure, our old hearts, they're okay. They're pretty good, and I'm sure they've gotten the job done up to this point, but they're not what we need to live the life that God has called us to. Of course, we can eke by, and our hearts have the capacity to love, to care. They work, but they're not the upgrade that we need. Our passage this morning from Jeremiah and our passage from the Psalms come at this idea that we need a new heart. We see with God speaking to his beloved nation and people Israel in the book of Jeremiah. See, Israel, as we talked about, has strayed so far. They were in exile, and Jeremiah spent the first 30 chapters letting them know the things that they'd been doing wrong. We know this in our own lives, I'm sure. Like as a kid, that I get really mad at my parents, and yet I love them. I'd throw a fit over nothing. Looking back, it was, at the time, it was something at the moment. But looking back, it really wasn't that big of a deal. One time in particular, I was doing the Pinewood Derby for Scouts, and my car came in third, and I was livid at my dad for not having an advanced degree in aerodynamics like some of the other kids' dads had. I said, Dad, why did you get a master's in education? Why couldn't you have gone to Harvard and learned how to make a fast Pinewood Derby car? Yeah, see, I was that kid. And then after I cooled off, I felt bad. And I would vow that I wouldn't do it again. But whether it was the next couple minutes or later that evening, the next day, I'd find myself doing the exact same thing over again. To a certain point, I couldn't control myself. We can all be little kids like that. We can't control ourselves, and God saw this in his chosen people. So all of a sudden, after 30 chapters in the Jeremiah, God says, okay, enough's enough. God says that we're going to make this work, and something has to change. No more of this pattern of you, my people, straying and the prophets having to pull you back. We need to break this cycle. No more band-aids. We're going to attack the illness at the root cause. I'm going to give you what you need to stop straying. Stop doing the stuff that's not life-giving. Stop doing the things that aren't bringing glory to God. So God, in God's infinite wisdom, said the best and easiest way is that simply I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to write all these things into your heart. A new heart will make it possible to live a life that's worthy of the call that I've placed on it. We've all thought, we all thought the first heart transplant was. Anybody know when the first heart transplant happened? December 3rd, 1967, for all you trivia people out there. But that's wrong, because the first heart transplant happened here in this scripture. God was doing it long before. God says, I'm going to give you a new heart via transplant, and more amazing than that, the miracle of it is that it will not just be any heart. It's not a pig heart or a baboon heart. It will be God's own heart. This new heart has such amazing upgrade because it's God's. So what makes this heart better? What are these upgrades? Well, having God's heart allows for the law, the Torah, the teaching, all the things that we want to be about to be within us. When we get this heart transplant, the Torah, the law, the teaching, this manual for life is written into the heart, and it's within us. Written on the heart is in that same vein as writing things on your hand. I think we probably know one or two people in school or life that makes notes to themselves on the back of their hand and pen. They did it because they wanted to remember something. Before this, with older hearts, everything was external. The law was something that existed outside. Before this gift of a heart transplant, the people need to remind each other to know God, as it says in the scripture. But Jeremiah said, but with this new heart, we no longer have to remind each other of God and the external expectations. This would be like going into a class, and instead of the teacher saying, these are the classroom rules and expectations that are written on this, they're written on the wall. And it would be more, we all share the same heart. We all know each other. We all care about each other. So we all know how to treat each other. We know what we need to do. We don't need to have list of rules outside because we have the same heart. When it's internal, we don't have to think about it. We just do it. See, for Israel back then, before this new heart, they had to figure out what they had to do. They had to consult something outside of themselves. If a situation or dilemma arose, they would have to stop and say to themselves, what do I do in this situation? Well, let me check the law. Let me talk to this rabbi and see what they say. But God said, nope, the new heart has a direct line to the very spirit of the law. So we can know what is the godly choice. We know what God wants us to do in every situation. That is a major upgrade. We do not need to remind each other to be following God, and the way we truly follow God is knowing God. The beauty of this idea of having the law written on our hearts is not that it's a once and done thing. It's still being written every day. We probably think when God said this that we have this teaching written on our heart and we reference it like a dictionary or an encyclopedia. Jack Kerouac, the great beat writer of the 1950s, would sit, and when he was writing novels, like On the Road, he'd write on butcher paper on a typewriter, and he'd just write for 19 hours and typing, and so you could see the manuscript would be written. So he'd not, because he didn't want to keep putting paper in, he just wanted to keep going and keep going. This new heart is like that. God writes and we unroll more and more of God's teaching. Everything that we look to is already be written there. So as we grow in age and wisdom and new insights and new ways of seeing this world unfurl before our hearts and souls, God is writing it each moment as we reach new depths of life's God's pen, and it's moving broadly and boldly. Our new heart is a work in constant process. It'd be like a conversation on iChat or Instant Messenger or Facebook message. It's a constant dialogue as opposed to a letter waiting for response. It's a back and forth in the moment. Another upgrade is with this new heart, we know God better than we ever could because we have access to God's own heart. This is the biggest upgrade of this new heart. The new heart is amazing because this new heart beats with God's own heart. Hearts beating in sync in time with the heart of the all-powerful, all-loving divine. So we love what God loves. We love what God loves and are capable to love as God does. We also then are saddened by things that break God's heart. What makes God sad moves stirred, then stirs and moves us. His heart breaks, and so does ours. As we embrace this new heart, we're moved in ways that never moved us before. We see suffering, we see pain, we see things in the world that strikes us in ways that we never thought. We begin to cry about a story that we read about someone who is far away from us in terms of our life experience, and it still strikes a chord within us. That's this new heart. We have no frame of reference, but if we see it, we are deeply distressed because we are tapping into God's heart, and God is saddened by it. We read stories that we would be so far disconnected from, but because of this, we are connected. This new heart has infinite depth, not just because it's anchored in God's heart, but because it's expressed differently in us. It's expressed differently because we're all different. This heart is eternal, and we never need a new one. So when we have this heart, we'll always have it. It will grow stronger and stronger as we use it, trust it, and boy, do we need it. This new heart is only possible because of the work of Christ. That's why the words of Christ at the Last Supper, we say in communion, this is the blood of the new covenant. Christ's work made it possible to have this new heart. And the Holy Spirit is the blood that flows between God and us. The Holy Spirit is that whisper in us who stirs us to love, to weep. It's the energy that this heart runs on. The Holy Spirit, you know, illumines the law, makes it real to us in our context, makes grace a context that explodes from our core. We know the adage, follow your heart, and this is true when we have this new heart. If we follow our old hearts, we will, of course, have God with us, but it won't be God's leading. So how do we know we're running on this upgrade? Maybe you're thinking this morning, okay, am I running on this new heart, or do I still have my old heart? We know we have this heart not only when things move us that did not, but also when our heart becomes wiser than our heads. And we talked about this not too many weeks ago. We know head versus heart. So when one has this new heart, you'll be making some bad decisions. You will make bad decisions. You know, not saying this is license from Pastor Malcolm to go hit the highway and maybe go to Foxwoods and take all the money and, you know, bet it on black. Not those kind of decisions. But with this new heart, you're going to be making bad decisions from a mind cultural perspective, but they're actually going to be godly and good things to do. Things you might not ever thought you would do. William Carey, the great missionary to India, is a striking example of this. He's known as the father of the modern missionary movement. And when Carey lived in England, he was a shoemaker. And he was very interested in the journeys of the English navigator James Cook. So Carey wanted to learn all that he could about the world and the needy people who lived in the world. On the walls of his humble shoemaker's shop, he hung hand-drawn maps of the world, on which he noted the population, the climate, the vegetation, animals, the religions of the different countries. Out of pieces of leather, he constructed a globe, and as he turned it in his hand, he prayed for the people of Africa, India, and China, as well as islands he had never heard of before. William Carey had a burden in his heart for lost people. He was concerned for them. He prayed for them. Now, in his day-to-day life, I'm sure people saw him with these makeshift leather globes and things on the wall in his little shoe shop, and him caring for people that couldn't be further from his experience. And his head would tell them, you know, you work in the shoe shop, you'll never have a chance to go and tell people that God loves them. But his heart, God's heart, knew, and he lived by that new heart. And he did go, and he went, and we know him for that today. So from the outside world, from the outside perspective, there was an idea that, oh, that will never happen. But because of his new heart, God's heart beating within him, he knew that someday it would happen. So can we say we've had this transplant? Can we say we have a new heart that's tuned into God's? If not, we need to. We cannot function another moment without it. We can't truly have the vitality, the breath to do what God has for us without this new ticker. Do we have this free new heavenly heart that beats to the rhythm of the eternal? So as we go out into this week and someone asks what happened at the church service that you watched, say, I got bad news. I need a new heart. But the good news is the new one is better than I could ever dream. And we all need it too. Amen.